So a plow guy was out there with a ruler. A plow guy? Yeah, a plow guy was out there with a ruler. So is it 4 inches yet or not? Okay. Well, what do you know? Plow guy with a ruler, I say.
Live from the Rita Talent Pickens
out
Center
there
in Kenosha, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Clyde Stubblefield on drums. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's all the Kenosha news that isn't, Chicago Tribune film critic Michael Phillips, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's still looking for some papers from his Trapper students, it's Michael Feldman. Yeah.
See, because it's got to be 4 inches or they won't plow it. They won't even look at it. 3 inches, they won't even look at it. Don't even know it's there. It's like it's not there. 4 inches, they go turn the thing on, the plow. Sit there for a while. Let it build up. And really, you shouldn't plow until it's all done snowing, and that'll be sometime in April. How are you all? Nice to be here back in Kenosha. I know I haven't changed a bit. Okay.
You haven't changed a bit.
I haven't changed a bit. This winter, though, is kind of familiar, isn't it? It's kind of... It's like winter in Atlanta around here. It's getting bad. You know, they use so much salt in the county, they had to go with a salt substitute out there. Just had those little packets, and it really took a long time. They tried the soy sauce because they got a lot of soybeans. You know. That was counterintuitive. You get soy ice, actually, is what you do that. It melts a little bit, and then it forms ice. So. Get the black ice, dreaded black soy ice. They spread actually 10,000 tons of salt in mistaken belief they could raise the temperature. During the effort, of course, the county commissioner's wife looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. It was biblical, I'm telling you. These conditions are biblical. There was a heated debate whether to spread her or not. You know, it was really... They did not. I'll say on their behalf, they did not. Oh, so plowing, you know, some say 4 inches, some say six, some say eight, you know, guys. A lot of it depends on the angle, you know, you're looking from. One man's dusting is another man's total accumulation, I always say. Well, in other news, you know what I hate, all this weather? I think weather and news, like church and state, they should be separate. You don't turn on the news and you see weather. Weather is bad here, weather is bad there. Look at the weather. I don't care, that's not news. That's weather. Turn on the news, turn on the weather, you don't expect news. That was unscripted. Because the script isn't working. Okay, and all news that isn't for Kenosha and surrounding environs. A rogue streetcar jumps the tracks, makes it all the way to Mars Cheese Castle. Winterfest in Pleasant Prairie is canceled due to lack of interest in the season. Too much talk about the season already. Let's see here now. Okay. The frozen Asian carp. Oh, yeah, there's a frozen Asian carp pulled in off Southport. Not clear if it was frozen going in. A lot of noise complaints from the power augers, from the ice fishermen. It should be law. You gotta turn those things by hand, or don't even bother going out there. They didn't have power augers in my day. Yes, thank you very much. What are those guys? I mean, they're sitting around a hole. They're not doing anything. They're just talking to one another, you know. And what are they gonna catch? A pike? What do you even do with a pike? Have you ever seen pike on a menu? I've never seen pike on a menu. What do you do with a pike? You throw out the trash fish. Throw them away. Throw them back in the hole. You know, excuse to sit out there and drink beer under uncomfortable conditions. I'm sorry. wasn't scripted. Well, and in the back of the news, it isn't. 600 jobs expected at Amazon warehouse, offset by $37 million lost in sales taxes we have to pay. Because the warehouse is here. So if you divide that, that comes to $62,000 a job. Thus, the 250,000 jobs that Governor Walker has promised will cost $15.5 billion. All thanks to the warehouse. After the Racine rejection, Kenosha shopping around its ethics. So far, they tried the Summers, Pleasant Prairie, Waukegan, won't take them. Zion, they get biblical on you. You don't want to take your ethics to Zion. There's also still no vacant building registry in Kenosha, as the non-residents are not filling in their forms. Vacant building registry or treasure map for copper hunters. You know, really, what's it for? Okay, vacant building. Here we go. It's right on the registry. Two guys on 12th Avenue started a fire after pouring gas on a wood-burning stove. The fire chief had some nice words for them, which were totally called for this time. Plus, the T-shirt they were wearing really did look bad. A huge increase in butt calls to 911 when there's nothing they can do for your butt. Kenosha Minutemen have stepped up their patrols at the Metro station to stem the flood of illegal Chicago aliens. You see the logo everywhere. That it's a bedroom with a red slash through it, you know. No more bedroom community. Guess you didn't see that. Bedroom community. That's not insulting, is it? Okay. If you made bedrooms, that'd be one thing. You know, you say, well, we're going to, yeah, they make bedrooms in Kenosha. That's why. Or the Up North Shore, they call it now, too. Well, I'm going to the Up North Shore. Got a cabin up there in Kenosha. Anyway, they missed days of school from the polar vortex to be made up in the island of Grenada in the Caribbean. Grenada, of course, where their motto is school first. By the way, the school first model, you see it on billboards and stuff here. What I want to know, before I go with school first, I'd like to know what my other options are. What are the other choices? You know, like bowling, or going to the movies, or... Then I'll decide. It could, probably, it could be school first. The governor's seven-day work week bill in the Wisconsin legislature has been vetoed by God. And, of course, they were all struck dead after that. You know, God, can't take a joke. However, the seven-day unemployment bill sailed right through. The Beatles' eight-day work week never came to a vote. Come on, this is the news that isn't. Give me a break. Governor Walker is pushing jobs for the disabled, but that's just asking a lot of a guy just to get a job. Piggly Wiggly closes, reopens as Wiggly Piggly. GOP chair and Kenosha boy Rance Priebus says he eats Cheerios no matter what color they are. Rance Priebus, actually his birth name was Gustavus Maximus. A lot of people don't realize that. Okay, a rash of additional car locks being glued has thrown the glue gate prosecution into chaos. As far as I understand, a glue gate is a scandal where Alderman Ruffalo was found glued to Alderman Juliana. And they're blaming each other for it. I have no idea what it means, but only here, I would say. When finished, Highway 50 will be six lanes and lead to Fort Lee, New Jersey. So five lanes will be closed at all times. The Racine correctional officer who grew sour diesel, Master Kush, And Blue Dream Weed at Home is having a closeout sale. Yeah? Which one? The Master Kush? Oh. According to the Kenosha News, a woman born in 1986. They always do that. They give where you were born. You know, a woman born in 1986. It's Kenosha News. Nowhere else. Anyhow, a woman born in 1986 makes the Guinness Book of Records by causing a three-car collision at 52nd Street McDonald's drive-thru. Three-car collision in the drive-thru is a record. And she's born in 1986. That's all we know about it. In casino news, it isn't. Governor Walker says he's between a Potawatomi and a Ho-Chunk. The tribes say Walker speaks with forked tongue. But, you know, I didn't even realize that the Hard Rock were a tribe. Okay. Plowgate gets out of hand as the Common Council. Aldermen are vigorously showing each other how much 4 inches is. The good news is if you live near I-94 and 38th Street, your Amazon package has arrived. Just a personal note here. Has anyone seen my fawn Giggles? Daddy loves Giggles. Let me know if you see her. Okay. In other related items, this is the closest Lake Michigan and hell have come to freezing over in quite a while, actually. There's still some open water between Hades and Muskegon, apparently. If it does freeze over, a land bridge would permit Kenosians to repopulate Michigan with a hardy new genome. So that's the good news. And I'm saying, you know, everything changed a lot around here since everything's changed here except the Villa de Carlo. The exact same decorations hanging in the back of your head as you're trying to eat that they did in 1978. Surprisingly to me, I guess, Kenosha is still missing from the list of popular African-American girls' names. Kenosha! You don't hear that. If you want stats, we got them. For every 100 females, there are 96.7 males. So 3.3 females have to double up. On the other hand, for every 100 females, there are 100 females. So there's that. I'm just saying. All right. I thought I'd get a bigger response from somebody. The Civil War Museum, that's new. We didn't have that here. That's interactive displays of the battle between Kenosha and Racine. I did, of course, my history research. You know, the Potawatomi actually named Kenosha. It means don't eat the pike. or give the pike to the Menominee. Of course, by naming it, they claimed casino rights into perpetuity as part of tribal casino lands. Today, of course, the biggest challenge for Kenosha tourism is to get them past the Pleasant Prairie Outlet Mall. So, you know, my idea is you put the outlet mall in the harbor there so they got to drive through town to get to it. They can see other things on the way, perhaps. You're that or march in and claim Pleasant Prairie for the fatherland. And that's all the news that isn't. Thank you so much. For Kenosha, Racine Sturdivant, Pleasant Prairie, Summers. Oh, yeah. It's snowing out there, but I guess it's not up to 4 inches yet. Anyone know how many inches we've got so far? We're going to have to stay here until it gets to 4 inches so the plow's out. About two, I'm going to say 2 inches, 2.5, 3, maybe. Okay, another 2 hours. Okay, by the end of this, we could be okay. We'll see what happens. Now, here's the guy who's like the perfect guest, Michael Phillips, because he's both a Kenosha and a Racine native. You can't beat that. He is the movie reviewer. No, they don't call him that. The movie critic. The film critic. Pardon me. I knew there was a good term for it. For the Chicago Tribune, Michael Phillips, ladies and gentlemen, joining us right now. Very beautiful UW Parkside in Lurita, ladies and gentlemen. You can wear those if you want, but you don't have to.
Are you listening to another show when you wear those? Now, are you?
Yes. I'm listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and he's doing great. He's doing so much better than I am doing. And, well, he's not doing Kenosha jokes. That's one thing.
He wishes he could do those jokes.
Yeah. You got to live here to be able to do a good Kenosha joke. Now, do you consider yourself more Kenoshan or Raciner?
You know, born in Kenosha, yeah. And then my dad got a job at S.C. Johnson & Son, like everybody's dad in Racine, and at least back in the 60s. And so we moved up there when I was three or four. So.
Okay.
But, so well, what am I? I'm confused.
Yeah. But your gestation actually was in Kenosha.
Kenosha, so I think that's, yeah. I always refer to it that way.
I think that's what they count, the gestation period.
Yes, yes.
Was it a normal gestation as far as you know?
It was normal, yes, yes. I'll ask my mom.
I mean, giving birth to a critic has got to be kind of a strange labor.
Right, right, yeah. And in fact, I was thinking about that because I haven't been to this campus in a long time, but when I was in high school with, in fact, the same high school as Victor DiLorenzo of the Violent Femmes.
Oh, really, yeah.
St. Catherine's High School, Racine.
Yeah.
Go Angels, yes. I used to come out here to the UW Parkside and...
They are the Angels?
Yeah, here we are.
The Fighting Angels or...
No, the Peacekeeping Angels.
Well, what were the cheers? What do they do for cheers?
Let's pray for victory against Lucifer's team. I don't know.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Not much of a sports guy.
Yeah, no, all right, go ahead.
Not much of a sports guy. Yeah. But I used to come out here as a high school student. In fact, before I even had a driver's license, I would sort of bug my brother, who's two or three years older, to, hey, let's go out. I really want to show you a movie. And I'd come out and thread up a 16-millimeter copy of this film or that. And I remember coming out here. So like coming out here, and I'd show him Psycho. And yeah. I'd show him, hey, you got to see this murder, the shower murder again. Let's watch that scene again. Isn't that a great scene? Let's see it. And I think that's why he became eventually a pediatric neurologist.
No.
Just to figure out this crackpot, you know. Yeah.
That's why I became a neurotic, basically.
Yeah, right, yeah.
As well. I had film club at Tremper when I was teaching at Tremper, and we showed Psycho, and then they abolished film club. That's Tremper, though, you know, come on. So tell me this. Worst title ever, failure to launch for a movie?
For a film?
Yeah.
That was the rom-com with...
What's her name? Sarah Jessica.
And Matthew McConaughey, who's going on to more interesting things lately. Yeah. And in fact, I think...
Failure to launch is a movie title?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What does it mean that it actually was a success at the box office. What does that mean, Michael?
Was it?
I think it was.
Terrible
it was.
Title, in spite of that.
Yeah.
But it's also a three-word review. I always thought I'd like to do reviews. I like to do three-word reviews. And failure to launch would be its own review. You know, if you can't beat that.
Yeah, yeah. It's sad, too, when a really good film, controversial but really good, the Spike Jonze film that's now in theaters, Her, that's a flat title.
Yeah.
Her.
It should be She. That's what bothers me about.
That would have fixed it. Yeah, that would have fixed it. But, it's a bad title, Failure to Launch. I haven't thought about that film since blocking it out of my mind the first time.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Did you liked her, though? I liked her.
I liked her, yeah.
Hated him. See, there's my review for that. I could do three words, but they don't want that in the Tribune, do they? You got to flesh it out.
You got to flesh it out, yeah. Although we are, in fact, beholden to the star rating, too, which is, I have mixed feelings about this idea of, you know, you're always having to fix 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah. 2.5, whatever the star rating.
The problem with her, I thought that, tell me if you agree, I thought Joaquin Phoenix was too much like a regular day in his life. You know? In love with his operating system and having hallucinations walking around the street.
That's right.
That's another day in his life. You know, what's big? Right. This is a movie?
I like this movie season, though, right now, because I don't think Her's got a shot in hell at the Oscars necessarily, because it's just too odd. But there's a lot of good controversy and a lot of good debates around all kinds of films this year. You know, people pro and con on things like Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
I've heard, you know, pro and
best
con.
Best lewd scene ever.
Yeah, lewd. Yeah, the Quaalude epic
best
scene.
Best lewd scene. Yeah. You know, while driving, while looded,
right.
Ever.
In
the way he
Wolf
threw, rolled
Street.
Himself down the stairs there, and then had to crawl into his. What was he driving? A Maserati or something.
Right. But did you like that film?
I like parts of it.
Yeah.
I loved the lewd scene.
Right.
That was. I mean, just the doing of it. The, his physically doing that and driving home while doing, well, this.
Right.
He had to crawl into his car and grab the wheel from the at the country club, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
What a way to leave a country club, I see.
I would have liked that better if it had come in the third or the fourth hour of the film. I think fifth hour. It was a longish film.
It was a bit long.
Yeah.
What's with Scorsese? That's a little longer. It wasn't tightly.
Well, some films. Yeah. Goodfellas is not short, but I mean that film is.
But there's a lot of trunk action in that.
There is. Yeah. You know, as the late Roger Ebert used to say, no good film is, you know, too long, and no bad film is short enough, you know. So.
Yeah. But don't you think, in general, they're making films too long? It used to be like three reels, because each reel was a half hour, so it was an hour and a half
right.
for a movie.
Right, right.
And now the shortest ones are 2 hours and 10 minutes, I'd say, or something like that.
Yeah,
they're much too long.
Okay, but maybe this is why people responded to the film Gravity, 87 minutes long.
Yes, 87 minutes of watching Sandra Bullock lost in space.
Right.
My God. I mean, if you're going to be lost in space with someone, Sandra Bullock making all those stupid faces and those noises she makes. And
right. So you're not a fan of the film. You're not a fan.
I thought visually it was amazing that they did all. I mean, that, you know, but it was still Sandra Bullock. And it was like, you know.
I did love this. The Monday after it opened, my favorite tweet of the whole awards season, Albert Brooks tweets on Monday. Saw Gravity over the weekend on my iPhone. Got to say, I wasn't impressed.
That's a good one.
And that's the one thing, whether you like Gravity or you don't.
I like it.
It is a film that kind of forced you to not wait 3 months for the DVD.
Yeah.
It's big. And indeed,
it's big.
Like I guess, Avatar, 4 years ago now.
It was a film
that was like, okay, whatever one thinks of it, see it.
Was Sandra Bullock in Avatar? I don't think so.
No, she wasn't.
A blue-green Sandra Bullock?
She was, yes.
And then George Clooney comes in, just as George Clooney. He's absolutely George Clooney in a spacesuit, you know. George Clooney only plays George Clooney, except for Descendants.
Yeah, which is a film I like it very much.
I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only movie he's ever acted in, though. What else did he act in?
He's
always been George Clooney every film.
Yeah, well, I think so. I honestly think he's a better actor than people give him credit for.
Well, just give me a reference. Where did he knock your side?
I think The Descendants. I think he's great. You know what? I think he's
great. In
I think he really figured out how to activate the comedy in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which is a much broader.
I like that.
Okay,
I did. I like that.
A much broader performance than he's usually given, and it shows you that he's really kind of a ham underneath. But he's a lot of parts don't require any of that of him.
Yeah. They require him to be George Clooney. That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean,
he's like the last of the old time big stars. You know, here's Clark Gable in some other preposterous situation.
Right. Now, would you have liked Gravity any better if the original actor cast in that part, Robert Downey Jr., had played? No, true.
In the Sandra Bullock part?
No.
Yes, I want to see him in a stretched suit and is floating through space.
It would have been more of a can-do. He would have solved the situation in the first 10 minutes.
That would have been it would have been a comedy.
So Downey was playing the Clooney role originally, and he realized early on
that
there was no room for improvisation with that because it was such a technically demanding and meticulous shoot. It was like, not for me.
Yeah, just cracking George Clooney-type jokes.
Right.
Drifts in there from outer space and lands on her.
So have you seen the other? There's three movies that are, I think, under serious, in the serious Oscar races. You have Gravity, American Hustle, and 12 Years a Slave. Have you seen either?
I didn't see 12 Years a Slave.
Have you seen American Hustle?
I've seen American Hustle. By the way, I ripped all these off on the Pirate Bay. I can't reveal this at this time because I could be sued, I guess. But, because I don't go to the movies anymore because there's always some guy eating, used to go, a popcorn was bad enough, but now they give plastic bags filled with things. So, you know what I mean? You go to a movie and you hear these plastic bags. Exactly. So I can't go anymore.
I think what those are...
All right, you made your point.
I think you're going to movies where they're only out-of-work Foley artists are going to them. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I thought that American Hustle was great.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I like that film.
Very old-fashioned film. I thought, in many ways, it's a throwback film. Don't you think his filmmaking is
70s, very 70s style? I think.
Like the other one, same thing, throwback film.
Yeah. And that's, Michael, this is why I say there's always a little more controversy than you realize at first. I've run into a lot of people, very smart, cultured moviegoers, whatever, who just find American Hustle kind of a mess. It covers too many stories. I don't agree, so you're going to have to leave. But
you found it a mess? That was the people eating those things out of plastic bags. That was a mess.
But it does in fact cover an awful lot of storylines.
I didn't think it was a mess at all.
I thought
Scorsese's film was a mess. That was a total mess.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, too much and too over the top. And I mean, the problem with that film was the character was so totally unlikable. I mean, the guy they were working with.
Jordan Belfort, the Leonardo DiCaprio character.
The guy based on that, it was hard. You couldn't make him a hero or anything like that, or even that interesting, because he couldn't really care that much about him. You know,
right.
That was the main problem with the character.
The most interesting thing I heard about it, and I guess it's the defense of the film, is that somebody, there's a line in Raging Bull, one of Scorsese's really good films, where he says, "I am not a cockroach, I'm a man." And in fact, somebody said in this film, The Wolf of Wall Street, it's the first time he's made a film about a cockroach.
I am a cockroach. Not a man, I'm a cockroach. Yeah. Well, that's kind of true. Although DiCaprio was great in it, I think, you know.
Yeah. He does everything he can, and people, performances like that make you realize that, you know, there is in fact in the world of movie making a thing called a script, and you have to you can transcend it sometimes, you can succumb to its weaknesses sometimes, but often it's just simply a war between a really crafty performance like DiCaprio's giving, and the material, which I just find of kind of limited interest, I guess. Anyway,
But I found Christian Bale playing a little a Jewish middle-aged man
you were
to be surprisingly offensive. He had the hair on his neck, he had the pot belly, he had the hair thing with the hair width like this and that.
But by the way, I think you were terrific as Batman.
It was so accurate that it was absolutely... But I thought that was brilliant. I don't know that he's been cited, really, for how brilliant that particular role was.
He did get a nomination, and I don't think he's got much of a shot. But it's a very subtle performance, and it doesn't...
for everyone, I suppose.
No, it doesn't have a wide dynamic range, and he doesn't have, like, big explosion scenes, because it's a very understated performance. It's very, very clever, though.
But all the roles in that film were superb. Everybody was superb. Tell me the other guy, the lead guy for the...
Bradley Cooper plays the FBI.
Bradley Cooper was brilliant.
Yeah, he plays the absolutely short-tempered FBI agent, Amy Adams and Jennifer Lawrence.
That was brilliant with the hair and the little pin curlers. I mean, where did that all come from?
This is the most hair-centric film.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Bradley Cooper and curlers. You got, you know, the whole first minute of American Hustle is this very... Christian Bale is... The comment is very carefully kind of maintaining this insane comb over, is it a rug? Is it a comb over? I don't know what. But then
that's the opening of the film.
Yes, the opening of the film.
That's a great open.
Don't learn a lot about the Abscam FBI sting operation in this. I mean, the film.
No, but
about
you learn
that.
All everything about him.
Yeah, and that's what it is. All the fabrications and inventions. That's why the movie's good. And that's why I think. When people start dinging a movie like American Hustle or anything, Wolf of Wall Street, it's not really based, it deviates too much from what really happened.
Doesn't matter. It's a
movie. Welcome to the movies.
Yeah, it's a movie. Are they kidding me? Don't you get sick of that? What's the matter with these people? Don't you want to just punch them out instead of writing something? Just punch out the next guy.
I've done it. That's why I kept moving for years. I just it always ended in a violent altercation of some kind. But.
And what about De Niro? De Niro is so brilliant now in these roles. Wherever he appears, it's just brilliance. I loved him in American Hustle.
Well, you know,
he was just perfect.
It's this director and writer, David O. Russell, who made last year's Silver Linings Playbook, which
another
I liked a
great
lot.
Great movie. Yeah,
yeah, and something about the way he's writing and also directing De Niro in that film. De Niro's only in American Hustle for 10 minutes, but it really makes up for so much crap he made the last 20 years. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's made...
Oh, yeah, that erection that he had for 24 hours in that Stiller film.
Right.
Remember?
Talk about failure to launch.
That's got to be a low point in anybody's career. You know?
Right. But De Niro's got a lot of business interests. He's helping run Tribeca Film Festival. He's headed to a lot of jobs for money.
And that Silver Linings, I think, was so brilliant. Mm-hmm. The whole Philadelphia thing, it permeated with Philadelphia. And De Niro and his whole juju about Philadelphia and the Eagles, and all this stuff. That was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And he was brilliant in it. I don't
know. Yep, I'm with you.
And Jennifer Lawrence. God.
She's good.
Oh, my God. There's nothing wrong with her.
Except the fact that...
The only thing you could say
on the verisimilitude angle with American Hustle is that she apparently had this child in American Hustle at the age of 11. So, you know, she's a tad young... For the role, but she's also She's a good enough actress.
Picky.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
Really good.
Yeah. Have you ever met her?
No. I don't have her number, Haunted? Michael. I don't. I can't help you out with any social interactions with her. I can't.
Oh, she's amazing, yeah. So, and actually, don't you think, I mean, maybe it's the past couple of years, but it seems like movies have grown up a little. I mean, we're going through all this trash, and for so many years, there's nothing I wanted to see, and suddenly, the past couple of years, there are actual movies for adults that are being made now.
And you notice it, I think, at the end of a calendar year, because that's kind of the peak of the awards season, and when you look at, I do take heart, when you look at the three that are kind of the front runners for the Oscars this year, Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, and American Hustle, those are films, you know, I mean, you know, appeal to a wide group, wide age range, the rest of it. But, you know, yeah, they don't cut out the adult. You know, it's, you know, we see a lot of Transformers and the like in the summer.
Yeah. And Lego, the Lego film's coming up, of course.
You know what, though? Yeah. I just saw that. Yeah. It's funny. It's funny. The Lego film is funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Who plays the Legos?
Well, De Niro.
De Niro's in
it. And he can do anything, obviously.
I can see him as a Lego.
Fantastic. I don't know if you've dealt with the films, The Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs 1 and 2, but it's the same writers.
I saw the first one. It was funny.
Yeah, same writers and directors there. So it's got a very brash sense of humor and actually knows how to kind of tell a joke and quickly move on. It's actually, frankly, it's one of the funnier films I've seen lately.
Yeah. But of course, you're the guy who thought WALL-E was the best film of 1998 or whatever.
WALL-E? Does anybody else like WALL-E?
WALL-E.
Wow.
Best film, though. Come on. What was it up against that year? I don't remember. Probably nothing. Huh?
Failure to Launch was up there. No, I mean, this time of year, though, January, February, that's when hope springs occasional. Yeah. You know, I mean, you see a lot of junk this right now. So maybe the fact that I saw the Lego movie the other day, it opens next week, it actually hangs together, it works, it sort of knows how to do comedy. It stands out this time of year.
So do you get to vote for the Oscar thing?
No.
Are you're not in that?
No.
You got to be a member of the Academy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
But what's this? You have like a Pulitzer thing or something? Do you?
I don't have a Pulitzer.
No, but I mean, do you get to vote for?
I'm trying to buy a Pulitzer.
You get to vote
that's my own
Pulitzer. So.
What is that? I've been on in the past. Yeah. I've been on various nominating juries, and I mean,
has my name come up? Feldman, F like in Frank. E.
It's
like
funny.
In
every
Edward.
Other Wisconsin radio host has won except you. It's odd. In past years, in much of my career, I wrote about theater. I was the theater critic for the LA Times and then came to Chicago.
Yeah, you worked around a lot. What happened there? There was like seven different papers.
Moved around, you know. Always
something
for the job.
Always go wrong. Same thing. Always go wrong.
I think our 50-minute hour is up. When I was doing theater, I was on the nominating committee for the drama division of the Pulitzer. So,
oh,
yeah,
cool.
Which is great to be able to sit around with some smart people, smarter than me, and just kind of debate the merits of this or that play.
Well, it's been great to speaking with you, and I guess we're in total agreement on most of these films.
Except WALL-E.
Except WALL-E.
Yeah, well.
Failure to Launch, I guess you didn't agree on that either. Then.
I just can't believe that's more press than Failure to Launch got the first time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. I know what I really hated, The Secret Life of Ben Stiller.
Now, why? Why did you?
Oh, horrible.
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, horrible.
Yeah, because you know why? The worst thing about it, it's a Thurber story.
A page and a half long. It is.
It's a page and a half long, and there's kapakata, pakata, pakata. There's no kapakata, pakata in the movie at all at any point in his life. No, but he's subtle, you know.
Yeah.
He's subtle, and he's just so, you know, a little joke like that, and blew it out of the water totally with these ridiculous scenes in Iceland and all this stuff.
It does make you wonder if a movie about an ordinary, you know, kind of downtrodden dreamer needs to be $80-100 million shot, half of it shot in the Tibet, and you know, it's too much.
It made no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I know people who like it, but I found it just the scale of it sort of off.
Yeah, and the scale was way off, and it made no the original idea of the ordinary man and his fantasy life, you know, basically is what it was. And it made Danny Kaye look like a genius.
But I hope people go back to the Thurber and actually read it just to see what it's like.
Yeah, just to read it. Well, thank you for coming. It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you, Michael. It was fun.
Michael Phillips, ladies and gentlemen. He is the critic, the film critic of the Chicago Tribune, and a local boy, no matter where you're from. Thank you very much. Failure to launch. Theater critic as well, I guess. But theater and movies. That covers a lot of ground there. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, he's been my go-to...
Your go-to guy?
Film critic for years, yeah.
Did you ever find yourself at odds with what he thought about a film? Or
not really. He usually has it more
disappointed
in depth
after following his advice
no,
on a film?
No, not no? really.
Did you see Wall-E?
I did not see that, so maybe...
You did not see it?
I did not
see it. See it? Okay. Well, why don't you introduce your band here?
Well, my band here is on on the bass, we have Mr. Jeff Hammond.
Oh, that's who that is.
And on drums, we have Mr. Clyde Stubblefield.
Clyde! Clyde!
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
How do you get down there? Is there any way of getting down there without hurting myself? Are there steps there? Is that what you're pointing at? Or are you telling me to get out?
Stay away from the glowing tape.
I've seen that so much from women, that particular gesture. Okay, I'm going down here. Oh, there's only two steps. And here we are. Feeling pretty good?
Oh, yeah, pretty good. How are you?
What are you driving these days?
I drive a van.
How does she do in the snow?
She's doing well.
Dodge van? Caravan?
Yes, sir.
Yep. What kind of tires you got on that?
I don't even know.
You don't have tires on it? You're riding on the rims all this time?
Whatever came with the car. I don't know what to do.
It's hard to see what they are because they keep rolling when you're trying to read what's on the on the labels there. And what do you do these days?
I work in information systems.
Yeah, but what do you do these days?
Not much, as little as possible.
What is information systems? I know I should know this because it is, what year is this? 2000 and something. But what is information systems?
Things dealing with computer systems.
Oh. I mean like Apple IIs and things like that?
Yeah. Printers, computers, network stuff.
Well, what part of that do you do then? Do you intervene when someone can't turn on their computer or something?
Yeah, it's usually when people are confused and don't know how to.
You tell them to plug it in first?
That's the first step, yeah. Or reboot, you know.
Reboot. Okay, and your name is?
Dave.
Dave? Okay. Do you want to say who you are?
I'm Ellen.
Hey, Ellen. You know Dave?
I do. I'm his wife.
Oh, you are. How many years has that been now, then?
38.
38? Oh. 38 out of how many?
Short. 38 short.
Really? Were you engaged for 37 years before that, or?
Yeah, right.
Short engagement, long marriage, huh?
That's right.
Trick, you think? Keep the great engagement short and keep the marriages longer?
A lot of fun. Just a lot of fun first, yeah.
Where did you meet this guy?
A few parties at the lake, yeah.
Parties at the lake? Were there beverages consumed? Were you?
Just a few, yep.
Back in the, this must have been back in the day.
Back in the day, back in the day.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun at the lake.
What sort of fun we talking here now?
Well, just the usual.
You say at the lake, what are we talking about here?
I'm sure some of these people know. Yep.
Where was... when you say the lake in Racine, people think automatically going down to where?
South side.
17th Street Beach.
Yep.
Yeah, back then, it wasn't very accessible by the police, so it was...
The police couldn't get to it? That's pretty good.
Kids could go down there. It was real icy.
Probably had to walk, get out of their vehicles and walk, right? They wouldn't...
That didn't happen. Yeah, so.
Nice to have you here. We have something for you, because 38 years deserves something, doesn't it?
Sure.
Sarah?
For sure.
Sarah Nix?
Yes. How about a pair of tickets to the Racine Art Museum, which is dedicated to contemporary visual arts?
They've never been to that, I bet. Oh, well... Best we can do for 38 years. I apologize. You deserve more. You deserve a lot more. who you are. Bill Guida, as little as possible, Kenosha. Have you got any tips for installing a toilet? Where is Bill? Oh, I can't get to you, Bill. How far have you gotten with it?
I removed it.
What are you using for a toilet now that you removed that one? In this weather? First of all, you should always remove your toilet in warm weather. Your wife what?
It's harder on my wife than it is on me.
Harder on your wife, yeah. Okay. Well, you probably should have thought about putting the new one in before you took the old one out. That's because I work like you do. I always work backwards saying, oh, yeah, now I got to get another toilet.
I did think about it.
You did? Do you have it? Where's the other toilet then?
The new one? It's in the front hallway.
The new one? Well, can you use that if you, like, pull a shade or something in the front hallway? Can you? It's what?
It's still in the box.
It's still in the box. Well, how about taking it out of the box and using the box then? That could work. Okay, I'm glad I could help. I think it sounds like you've got it under control. Oh, what? One toilet job and I'm out of here? 138-year marriage and a toilet job and I have to leave the audience. How do you like that? Okay. Well, we'll come back later. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz now. That makes us your ticket tax deductible because it's educational at that point. In order to do that, we have to know who can. Yes, this is your big chance here, Rob. And how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah. What are you doing these days, Rob?
I'm a coffee slinger at Starbucks.
Oh, you're coffee. You're a barista?
Yes, sir.
Is that the male form of barista, baristo?
I have no idea. The four disclaimers. One, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Two, I'll show you what 4 inches is. Three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office lines trying to play this quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Let's see the hands of those of you who think you have the wherewithal to play the What Do You Know quiz. Come over to the aisle here. You making the most noise with your hands and extremities. Someone here, this is either too important or just important enough, I hope. He seemed a little excited to do it. Hope I'm not making it. Come on down here and be on the same level. How are you?
Very good. Yourself?
Good. This seems to be important to you.
I'm a big fan.
You listen to the quiz on the radio and think I could do that?
Yeah.
Are you pretty good? Do you play trivia or anything? Or?
Nope. This should be fun.
You just know a lot of stuff?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, it should be fun then. And your name is?
Chip Wood.
Chip Wood. What a great name.
The quiz, man.
That's your real name? Chip Wood. You should be an exotic male dancer or something. About that?
No.
Well, Chip Wood, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
My name is Chip Wood.
His name is Chip Wood. Got up here, Chip Wood. That's one of the better names I've ever heard. Oh, yeah. So your parents had a sense of humor in the naming department? Is that the...
Yep, I'm Jack Wood the Fifth, so they thought it'd be fun to call me Chip off the woodblock.
Oh, that's funny. They name all the kids like joke names. Is there a balsa wood in your...
No, just me.
Okay, just you?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you resent that? Has this been a problem for you?
Well, it's paying off right now, so I'm pretty happy.
What are you doing these days, Chip Wood?
I'm a nonprofit executive director.
So you're not making any money at it?
No.
Okay. Well, that's too bad. Why don't you go to a profit thing? And
the work's too important.
Work, yeah. What is the work?
We run a mental health clinic in Racine.
Oh, fantastic. Yep. Wonderful. You're a good man, Chipwood. And what do you do for relaxation? Are you a bowler? Are you a ice fisherman? Or
I enjoy spending time with my family. They're actually here right now.
They are.
It's great to have them with us.
The Chipwood family. All the little shavings are here. Do you have kids? Or?
No.
No? Okay. And so that's a great thing. And are you from Kenosha originally? Or?
No, I'm from Racine.
You're from Racine? That's okay.
Yeah.
You got to start somewhere. And so where'd you go? Horlick or one of those?
I grew up more in the Appleton area and just moved down to Racine a couple of years ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, great. That's great. So, Chip, you know how this quiz works?
I do.
Okay. Someone up there calls in and plays along with you. And what else?
Well, they need the number if they want to call from home.
Well, Sarah Nix, what is that number?
The number is
262-595-2974. 297. Does that spell out anything?
It does. It spells out cocky jaw pie. No E.
That's a good spell out thing to have there. 262-595.
2974.
2974. Probably easier than cocky.
Jaw pie.
Jaw pie. But that sounds good. Wearing those boots, you could say that 10 times to me. Okay. What? I don't know. Let's see. Oh, the 1902 Rambler, the question is. 1902 Rambler, some of you still have these? They run forever. At flat six, that'll run forever. The 1902 Rambler was the first automobile to have what? That's the question. It's a little history question here. But it's also, of course, Ramblers used to come from around here. From here, actually. And that's the 1902 Rambler was the first automobile to have what? What was that number again? The cock...
262-595-2974.
Or cock, your what?
Cocky jaw pie.
Okay.
With no E at the end. Pie is in 3.4.
Oh, okay, boy, that's going to be handy. Reggie from Augusta, Georgia now. Okay, cool. Reggie, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Reggie.
No, this is Natalie.
Natalie?
Yes.
Where are you, Natalie?
I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, you're in Milwaukee. Okay, I had you in Georgia. You're lucky in Milwaukee. The weather's better.
Yes, but my mom went to, in Racine, she went to Horlick.
Oh, she did go to Horlick. So this is all coming full circle, isn't it? Pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, and where did you go to school, Natalie?
I went to school in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Oh, you did. So this is very getting confusing again.
I know.
Well, what brought you to Milwaukee then?
My family is here and work.
Oh, and what do you do?
I sell wholesale beauty supply stuff for Four Star Beauty Supply.
Do you have anything for the mail?
Yes.
Maybe 3 stars for the mail?
What, you know? No, it'd be 5 stars.
5 stars?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about beauty supplies. I think maybe the time is right.
You never know.
A little powder, a little base, a little blush.
Bronzer.
Mm-hmm. Bronzer. The 1902 Rambler was the first automobile to have what, do you know?
No.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. Reggie is from Augusta, Georgia. Are you? Are you there, Reggie?
I'm here.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
How's they got that snow cleared up there now?
We finally did.
Yeah.
But it was a mess in Atlanta.
I'll tell you. Well, you're in Augusta, though, right?
I'm in Augusta. We're just a little ways down the road, but we still got some of the wrath of snow.
Did you get caught in that?
I did, but I still had to go to work.
Yeah. You know, what was with people abandoning their cars, though? We don't do it up here. We get stuck in messes, but we don't, you know. You should always stay somewhere near your car, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, Reggie, 1902 Rambler. First automobile to have a what?
That's a good question. Maybe it was the first to have a... an actual automatic transmission.
No. Sorry, Reggie.
Good guess. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Bye. I was rooting for him there. Daniel's in Cleveland. Daniel, you know this, don't you?
I might.
Yeah. It was a breakthrough. Now we take it for granted. This, but it was a breakthrough at the time.
What year, Rambler, are we talking?
02.
The 02. 1902?
No, 2002. The first.
We're talking 2002.
No, 1902. Yeah. 1802.
Were you listening before you called?
Rambler. I did not get offline and see if you can answer this question, will you?
Is it a windshield?
No, it is not a windshield. Goodbye now.
Thanks.
I think they can outsmart the Feldman. On a sailboat in South Carolina, I say, that doesn't sound too shabby. Mitch?
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing today?
Are you fine? Are you luxuriating in waters, tropical waters off South Carolina?
Well, it's actually pouring rain right now.
Oh, great.
And we're just getting over the ice.
You got a top on that boat?
You bet.
Oh, that's good. So what are you doing then? Calling radio shows just to pass the time?
Yeah, well, I've got a radio, my TV's out, and I had a fight with the wife last night, so that's why I'm on the boat today.
She's back home in dry dock?
As far as I know.
As far as you know, it was a bad one then, okay. So was it a steering wheel?
No, I was thinking a windshield wiper.
Okay, thanks, Mitch.
That's no, right? No, okay, maybe it was the steering wheel.
No, second chances here with her either. I got news for you. Hi, Mitch. Good luck with everything. I don't think we're going to get this quiz in here.
No, we may not.
Okay, it's happened before. I'm not panicking yet. So, Fran, you're in Emporia, Kansas, I see here.
Yes.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah? Would you rather be in a sailboat in South Carolina? I know a guy who's looking for someone.
No, I've got someone. Thank you.
Well, if you never have enough, you know, backups. Always pays to have a backup, Fran.
Yeah,
Fran. Fran, you know anything about the 1902 Rambler?
No, but I can guess.
Okay, go ahead.
Rear view mirror.
Oh, thanks, Fran. I need a laugh. Bye now. Well, we're back in South Carolina here. No, we're going to get this. We're going to nail this down.
Great.
Yeah.
I've got this one.
All right,
I've got this one.
What do you got?
The horn. It's the horn, right?
No, it's not the horn. Oh, they had horns. Horseless carriages, they had horns on them, didn't they? Those clagger horns, or they call them?
I think they just yelled really loud.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, though. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay. We'll come back to the What Do You Know quiz after the turn of the century. If we get into the 20th century, we'll come back to this question. And I'm sure we'll get a quiz going.
Yes, that sounds about right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's about time to do the closing?
No, yeah. Not quite. I mean, there's a little bit of time for the guys to play since there's not quite enough time for the quiz.
Okay. We're going to get this, though.
We are. Don't worry. Yeah. There's a second hour. Hold tight.
It's a steering wheel, by the way, if you want to call in later. first steering wheel. I thought everybody knew that. Steering wheel, 1902 Ramblers, should be second guessing. First one, that's steering wheel. Ramblers. Hey, Gary, are you there? Gary?
You can keep up with What Do You Know throughout the week at notmuch.com. You can listen to past shows, right, play the online quiz, and laugh along with Michael's tweets. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, that's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is, of course, our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Steering wheel! Thank you, TGs. That's right. Thank you.
Live from Kenosha, Wisconsin, at the beautiful Rita Talent Pickens Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Clyde Stubblefield on drums. I'm Sarah Mix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's music from 1913 featuring Victor DiLorenzo, plus Almost Cops creator Don McNeil and Rustic Road brewmaster Greg York. Support for What Do You Know comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now the man who drove in circles looking for AMC, it's Michael Feldman.
1913. The Rambler American. Okay, so 1902 Rambler American. Did it have the first steering wheel is the question. Let's go to the phones right now. Gary, what do you think about that question? It's controversial. Gary?
I've never owned a Rambler, but I'm thinking it would be electric starter.
Okay. Sorry about that, and I guess I didn't make it too clear. Steve, do you think it was a steering wheel or wasn't it in that 02 Rambler?
I'm thinking so. My dad owned Ramblers. He would say it's an overdrive, but I'm saying it's a steering wheel.
Steering wheel, you're right. Thank you, Steve, so much.
Not a problem.
That's a career saver. That's a career saver for me, Steve, in Springfield, Missouri, one of my favorite places to be. And how's the winter been in Springfield these days?
It's rainy and cold today, but we've had our share of snow.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that okay?
It's been pretty, sorry?
Okay with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been a good winter.
Yeah. You still getting out there and doing whatever you got to do there?
For the most part, not playing much golf or fishing, but we're doing all right.
Okay, good. Steve, this is Chip Wood.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Chip.
He's your partner here in crime. Until you guys work together, you know this quiz works. It's cooperative.
We'll do our best.
Okay. We have various categories, don't we?
We
Sarah
do.
Nix.
Yep, and the categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
All right, Steve, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Oh, well, let's do odds and ends.
Odds and ends it is. Ron Burgundy's briefs. What kind were they? Local interest, these briefs.
Say it again. Ron's?
Ron Burgundy's briefs in Ron Burgundy, Anchorman 2.
Oh, God.
You know, he's always showing his underwear, or worse. Farrell. Ron Burgundy's
tell me
briefs.
Out, Chip.
What kind were they?
I think they're jockeys.
They're jockeys, absolutely. Jockey International with the Y front. That would be?
That's one right and zero wrong.
Fantastic. What's left there?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school or science.
Chip Wood?
Things you should have learned in school.
Okay, school. This is a quote. There are no parties. The campus is just one hallway with two buildings attached. What is this individual, disgruntled, talking about? There are no parties. The campus is just one hallway with two buildings attached.
That's an excellent question.
Thank you.
Steve, what do you think?
I give me that again. I'm not quite sure.
I believe he's talking of an educational institution of some sort. There are no parties. The campus is just one hallway with two buildings attached.
Sounds like Parkside.
Sounds like Parkside, he's saying. UW Parkside, where we find ourselves. Happily, I say, in the beautiful Rita. Performing
good.
Arts.
Parkside sounds good.
Parkside, yes. Of course, we don't agree with him, but that's what he said. One hallway with two buildings attached. They don't use that in their material they distribute, but...
That's two right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there?
Current events, people, places, or science.
Steve, back to you.
Let's do current events.
Current events, I was afraid of that.
Well, let's pick a better one.
Sorry. The top free iPhone app in Kenosha right now. Top free iPhone app in Kenosha. Is it Jet Car Stunts 2, RoboCop, or Pac-Man? Number one for the free iPhone phone apps in Kenosha.
Hey, Chip, don't you live up there?
I'm in Racine. We're much cooler.
Try and put yourselves in the place of an individual looking for a free iPhone app in Kenosha. Born and bred in Kenosha. What's he going to go for? The Jet Scout?
You have a better guess, Chip, than I do.
Jet Car Stunts 2, RoboCop, or Pac-Man?
I'm kind of leaning towards Pac-Man.
Pac-Man is right. They win the quiz.
Chip Wood, find yourself up the creek with your very own kayak paddle, along with its own storage bag and a kayaking DVD from Johnson Outdoors. Then enjoy a bag of goodies from the Educators Credit Union, based in Racine since 1937. Gain admission to the Racine Art Museum, dedicated to the contemporary visual arts on Main Street in Racine since 2003. Wear a t-shirt from the Kenosha Public Museum, established in 1933. And take a coffee break at Wilson's Coffee and Tea, Racine's best source for great-tasting coffee. Steve, you won family admission to the Racine Zoo, established in 1923 and housing 100 species from Wisconsin and around the world. Also, a basket of products from S.C. Johnson, a fifth-generation family company making leading global household brands for over a century. Then take off into the woods with a backpack, lantern, compass, and handbook from Johnson Outdoors, who've been selling innovative, top-quality recreation products since 1970, and return to civilization dining at Mangia Trattoria on Sheridan Road in Kenosha. Congratulations to you both.
Awesome.
Thanks, Chip. Great to have you here. Hang on, Steve. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing the quiz.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Chip Wood, ladies and gentlemen. Fabulous job, Chip. And a good man. Well, when we think of Victor DiLorenzo, if we think of him, you know, we think about a guy playing on, what was that? It wasn't a garbage can. It was
called the Transiphone.
The what?
Transiphone.
The Transiphone.
Yes.
It looked a lot like a mop bucket you turn upside down and beat on.
Well, if you must be so bold.
Yeah, is that what it was?
It was a metal bushel basket on top of a floor tom, and then I played it with metal brushes.
Yeah. Is that your invention then, Victor?
If you can believe it, it was the invention of three minds.
Of what?
It took three minds to put that together.
Really? One for each? For what? One for the bucket, one for the brushes. What did the other one do?
And one to just look good.
Well, that's quite amazing.
I'm sorry to upstage you here, Mike. I feel weird here. It's like Stagecraft 101.
No, why don't you sing a little song here?
Sing something?
Yeah, sing something. Looks like you're about to launch.
Hi, Michael. I'm glad to be with you today.
How about Moon River? You know that?
Moon River.
No, you don't. Okay. Not bad.
Come on. Sorry.
So, and of course, we think of you also, the Violent Femmes and so forth. That was a different configuration.
Violent Femmes?
Yeah, I know. The Violent Femmes. And I think you were the least violent of them.
Oh, well, thank you.
I always thought that about you.
You know, we have one violent femme in our band.
You do?
Yeah, it's Janet.
Oh, hi. Okay, she loved that.
She was being coy.
She hasn't heard that before, probably. All right,
Janet, would you like to say something?
Hello.
Okay, stop taking over the show. Now you are taking over the show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This band is called 1913. It's a little bit different configuration than what you were in.
Correct. Maybe we can tell you why it's called 1913.
No. Yes.
This cello was made in Romania in 1913.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay. Now, why was it called the Violent Femmes is what I want to know. Okay. Here we go. So, and then we have a cello and two drums.
Yes.
Two drums kits.
Yes.
What's the thinking there, Victor?
The thinking is that if we play loud enough, you won't hear the cello at all.
Well, let's hear what that sounds like then. What do you say?
Should we play a song for you?
1913, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
That was called Tango Obscura.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. And it proves at least you can play the drums. After all these years, we weren't really sure about you.
I'm still working on it. I'm feeling a little bit...
Are you?
Oh, boy. I'm just so happy to be sitting right next to Clyde Stubblefield.
Me too,
The great Clyde Stubblefield.
I know. You get used to it after a while, but I am too, really.
Well, you're sitting in front of him.
I know, but I sit next to him in the car and stuff
like
that. Oh, I see. Taverns and things and, you know, hotel rooms and all kinds of places. Oh,
you find your place wherever you go.
Airports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
okay,
of...
oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
no,
oh,
right,
sorry
yeah.
about that.
And that was really interesting.
Thank you. Janet wrote that piece, and that is also featured
nice,
on our new CD, which is released today, as a matter of fact.
All those years of lessons on the cello, did you think you'd end up like this, between two drummers?
Yes.
You did. Very interesting. Excellent.
Okay. We are her significant drummers.
Give us another one now.
Because
they're not all tangos, are they?
No, they're not all tangos. In fact, we're going to do one that Janet wrote now called Sonata. And this, at the end of it, has an abbreviated little drum feature, which I hope you will enjoy.
I hope so, too. 1913.
Thank you.
More drums. They need more drums is all they need. That'd be the perfect band. Just one more drum or two. Yes. Are you going to say something?
I should have brought my tango shoes.
You should have brought your tango shoes.
Great dancing tunes.
Wear your boots, though.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys don't have to stay if you don't want. That's it.
Just like being close to him.
Clyde was liking it because did you see him? He was swaying back and forth. That's the sway of approval. Clyde Stubblefield. 1913, of course, Victor DiLorenzo and the gang. So, thank you guys very much. We got sticks from Clyde. He gives them everyone. Don't get too excited. Well, here, this is cool, too, because Don McNeil is a Kenoshan. Are you born and bred Kenoshan, Don? Where are you? Is he back there? Okay, I think he is. Anyhow, and he's a reality TV producer as well. So he's going to do a reality TV show, we're hoping, anyhow, based in Kenosha. And, well, he'll tell you all about it. Don McNeil, ladies and gentlemen. Reality producer, man about town. Rita. Nice to meet you. Wrestle Slam. Well, it all began with Wrestle Slam, didn't it?
Yeah, it all started back in 1999 when I was doing a live show here in Kenosha. It was called Wrestle Slam. It was the stars of TV wrestling coming out to Carthage College.
Yeah. You guys know Wrestle Slam? We got Wrestle Slam fans here? Yeah. There's one guy over there, but and that was a great idea.
Well, it grew into the biggest independent show in the country. We had 5,000 people out there for an annual show that was done on a Sunday afternoon, and it was a family show.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no cursing, swearing, and so forth. But
we were not able like to, my family.
Not like yours. But we were able to keep a lot of dialogue and humor in the show, and I think that's what made that show nationally known.
Yeah, well, that's cool. What did you before you were doing reality stuff?
I was a gym teacher at one time.
A gym teacher? Yeah. Where?
Gone wrong. I taught at all the parochial schools here in Kenosha.
You did? So St. Joe's and...
Holy Rosary.
Holy Rosary.
Mount Carmel, just to mention a couple.
Yeah. Holy Rosary, really pretty good gym.
Yeah, it was a wonderful school.
Yeah.
Very good school.
Gymnastics type gym or just general gym?
No, big gym. Very big gym and a lot of room to move around the kids.
Yeah. But, I mean, what was your forte as a gym teacher? They all have their thing.
I love playing basketball with the kids and soccer. I was a little kid all over again.
Yeah. So, all right, so you're a gym teacher, and you're doing the public schools here and enjoying that and stuff. And then how does reality enter your life?
Well, my family wants to know that, too.
Yeah.
I guess I got a call back in 99 from the Jerry Springer Show.
Yeah.
And...
They wanted the family on, or they?
Pretty much.
Yeah. They wanted
understood.
Your wife and girlfriend to wrestle, right?
They were doing a reality show pilot on wrestling,
mm-hmm.
So they wanted to know if I'd be a consultant with the show. The reality show for the wrestling show never materialized, but they asked me if I'd like to stay on and work with one of their lead producers and be a consulting producer. And I said, well, what do I got to lose?
Mm-hmm.
And
can I get you to move in just a little bit?
Absolutely.
I don't want to miss any of this.
So the next few seasons, I had an opportunity to work with the show, and it was pretty.
How was Jerry to work with? Was he a cool guy?
He's a very nice guy.
Isn't
everybody, that whole team of producers, everybody involved with the show are wonderful people.
Yeah. So you came up with ideas for bits? Is that
no, not necessarily. Yeah. No, the people who called in the show who had issues they wanted resolved.
Yeah,
I would work with the lead producer, and we'd try to resolve them and get them to come on the show and tell.
Resolve
the
them in the most public way, embarrassing
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely, the only way that you could do it on Jerry.
Yeah, yeah, and all of that. None of that was staged, actually, right? That you just sort of made it happen.
Shows that I worked with were legitimate shows that. Yeah. People had something to say.
Yeah, that's cool. And so that did that plant it in your mind then that this is an interesting way of looking at life?
It opened up my eyes to think this is something I'd like to continue to do.
Yeah. So where'd you go from there then? Did you start producing your own?
I went back to doing live shows. I produced the Harlem Globetrotters. I did various other live shows. And then I found myself one day in Chicago doing an autograph show with Betty Spinks, the former wife of Leon Spinks.
Oh, yeah.
And we were sitting around, and there is Mickey Rooney there. There is Richard Anderson. There's all these big celebrities around, and the American Gladiators were there from the TV show. So when it came down to just spending some time that when it was downtime, I asked them if they'd be interested in doing a show on the road. And they said, yeah, it'd be kind of good. What do you think? And I said, well, let me go home and create one first. So I was in my dentist's office, and he was working on me. My head was back, and he's drilling or doing something. And all of a sudden, I had this flash of what I wanted to do. And I started laughing uncontrollably, and I got up from the chair, and I told him I'd come back the next week. Went home, wrote it, and 7-8 weeks later, we're doing a tour. We started.
With the Gladiators?
Yes.
And the...
Yes. It, yeah. It worked out pretty good until NBC canceled the show.
Yeah.
Then we're back to square one.
Yeah, it happens. And then, I mean, in the intervening years, I mean, reality is everywhere now. It's almost everything that's being produced is reality.
When I first started considering doing these shows, there was probably 4 cable stations that were doing a type of reality shows. Mm-hmm. Now, there are so many cable stations, there's probably a couple hundred reality shows going as we speak right now, if not more.
And the networks are all reality now.
Well, the beauty of it is with reality shows is that it's very cost-efficient to produce. They don't have to do a show where they're paying the star of the show $1 million an episode. You know, a whole year could cost them $1 million to do.
Yeah. And in the back of your mind, are you thinking, how can I work Kenosha into reality?
At some point, I did. It just didn't happen that way, but I guess Kenosha would be a great place to have a show from.
True.
That show came
There's
up.
A lot of reality here, that's why.
Oh, there's plenty of it. the show... actually, Almost Cops, I think that's what you're alluding to. It's a story about two guys that always wanted to be cops. Mm-hmm. One is 6'8", 550 pounds. And the other one is 5'3", well, he says he is, and 140 pounds. And as fate would have it, they never were able to become cops.
Yeah.
They followed another career path, but as fate would have it, they found themselves in a position where they're downsizing their jobs, layoffs, and... They thought they would kind of do some soul-searching and kind of pursue their dream of becoming cops again. Well, they did, Almost Cops, security cops. Mm-hmm. And the show leads to follow them around on what they do from guarding the prom queen to gate jumpers at the county fair to bowling alleys to nightclubs. You name it, wherever you see a security guard, that's where they can be found.
And Almost Cops are there.
Correct.
Yeah, and so is this what they were trying to do, and you met these guys, or did you put out a casting call for?
No. They happen to be a couple good friends of mine. Yeah. I've known them, and they've always had this ambition of wanting to be cops.
That's a great idea. It's a great concept.
So listening
I love it.
To these guys gripe all the time of going back in time, I said, well, do something about it. So they decided to do something about it. They went and applied at a security company, and they got hired. Once I found out that they're going to be doing some training and so forth, I had to go see what was going on.
Yeah.
And these guys are kind of like Andy of Mayberry and Don Knotts. But the chemistry that they have between them was incredible. And that's when I went home and said, you know, it's time to create a show around these guys.
Yeah.
So soon after I created the show, I sent it out to one of the biggest executive producers in TV. And I got an email back from him, and he said, hey, it's very interesting. Let's talk. So a few days later, he called me up and asked me a few questions, and within 15 minutes, he wanted to sign us to a contract called a shopper's agreement contract, and says, let's do a sizzle reel. And
sizzle.
That's kind of where it all happened.
Mm-hmm. Sizzle reel, for those of us who don't know what that is.
It's a mini TV pilot.
Oh,
it's taking the best that you have and putting it on a sizzle reel. They refer to it as... usually they can be anywhere from 5 minutes to 12 minutes, kind of giving an idea of what the show is focused on.
Yeah. These two guys are you're featured. Their names are?
Ed Ross and Jim Selovich.
Yeah, and so they're the heroes of this. And they're Kenosha guys.
Well, one is, Jim Selovich is. Yeah. The other is from Willamette, Illinois.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Close enough, yeah. It's a great concept, and I've seen a little bit of your sizzle reel, I guess, which is up. You can see that.
It could be.
Yeah, and I wish we had something here we could play from it, but it's a fantastic idea, I think. And is it going to go somewhere? Do you know now?
Well, here's what I do know. The sizzle reel was sent out to different production houses around the country.
Yeah.
And I got some responses back from a couple of them already. But as you well know, or for those of you who don't know, sometimes they wait until another show is canceled, and that's when they start looking a little bit in-depth and so forth.
Yeah.
So happened today when a friend of mine called and asked me what I was doing today, and I told him I was going to be on your show.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, say hi to Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, I didn't think you'd have the kiss of death on your show. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, three of the five shows that you've been associated with working on reality TV have all been canceled. You're a sure bet in Vegas. I guess the question is, am I doing your show? What are the odds, right?
Canceled after 30 years. I can live with that, I guess. You know. I'm not too worried about it.
But these guys have such a chemistry, though, that it's so unorthodox how they handle a call that you or I or a police officer might. But at the end of the day, they get the job done.
Yeah.
And that's what's important.
I think it's going to be great. I hope it goes, because this is actually where I like the real part of reality. You know, these are real guys.
These are real guys.
And it's not like some of this stuff they see, which is
trying to figure out how to resolve a situation. And here's a perfect scene that with the chemistry of these guys. We shut down basically almost I-94 this summer to film it. I shouldn't say shut it down, but we closed traffic.
Well, that was you who did that.
That was me.
Yeah.
at the Broad Stop and out at the...
Couldn't get to Fort Lee.
No. Right. At the golf course.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we were doing some filming at the Broad Stop, and they wanted to get some scenes where Jimmy and Ed are kind of checking IDs and patting down some of the people coming into the club after hours. Well, Ed was doing most of the pat-downs, and Jimmy must have noticed that there were some women coming up, and he suggested to Ed, maybe this is my time to do it. So as the women are coming up, Jimmy steps over and says, I've got this. And you can see Jimmy with a big grin over there doing some of the pat-downs with one of the particular women. He comes back about 3 minutes later, and he's sweating bullets, and he says to Ed, that woman must be expecting a lot of trouble tonight. She has... that stuff called that you spray
pepper spray
taped to her leg. And Ed looks over at her and says, I tell you one thing, it ain't pepper spray, it ain't no woman.
Just a sample of what you're going to see on Almost Cops, ladies and gentlemen. Sounds good, Don. I'm going to tune in for that particular issue. Well, I want to thank you for stopping and talking. This sounds great, and that's on tap, and that's going to happen, you believe?
I really believe it will.
Yeah, well, that's great. And it's great for Kenosha, too. I love the fact that you're doing it in Kenosha.
Sure, we can film right around this area between Kenosha, Racine, and some of the adjoining counties.
Yeah, excellent. Don McNeil. Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to meet you.
Don McNeil, reality man.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Out here in the audience. And I don't know. I have the cards back there, but I don't have them with me. So how are you?
I'm fine.
Pretty good?
Yes.
Are you liking this winter?
Oh, this is a great winter.
It's a great winter.
Yes, it's a typical winter for the Midwest.
And you love that, do you?
No, I'd rather be in Florida.
Have you got a place and got a condo down here?
Not yet.
Thinking about it?
Yeah, my brother just moved there, so he's got a nice place.
Is it big enough for the two of you?
It definitely is.
Yeah. Where is his place?
He's in Cape Coral.
Ooh, that sounds kind of nice, don't it?
Yes, it actually does.
Yeah. Been down there yet?
Not quite yet.
Yeah. Is he close to you, this brother? You should be down there by now.
I'm going to see him in the beginning of April.
But you know, it was bad in Florida, too, though.
Yeah, but by April, it'll be just fine.
Yeah, they should recover by then. Okay, well, very nice. And your name is?
Nick.
Nick and Lisa.
Nick and Lisa are here, ladies and gentlemen. They're thinking about Florida. Okay. Does anybody have a condo down there they want to They're not there now, so you might, someone could be there now if you're here. No? Are you thinking, you have a condo anywhere? Are you thinking about a condo?
No, I can't afford it.
If you could afford it, would you get one?
In a minute.
Well, I'm going to find some way to make a lot of money quickly. You know?
Be a radio host.
Yeah. I say quickly. Say a lot of money. What do you do? What's your job?
I'm a retired elementary school teacher.
Really? I'm thinking third grade.
Fifth grade I retired.
I'm thinking fifth grade.
I talk fourth and sixth.
You retired after fifth grade? Really? You went
17 years in fifth grade.
Oh, boy, you got held back. That was pretty. That was rough. Where'd you teach?
South Milwaukee.
South Milwaukee, and it was school?
Blakewood Elementary.
Blakewood Elementary. You miss it? I mean, that's pretty. Fifth grade is a good grade yet still, isn't it?
Well, they don't know about sex, so.
They don't tell you what they know about sex. Fifth grade, so what, they're 10? 10, 11?
Yeah, it was a good group.
They definitely know about it by then. Are you kidding, these kids?
They think they know.
Well, I think I know, and I don't know about it, so, you know. How's that any different?
Well, when they're little, they, you know, when they come into fifth grade, they've got their G.I. Joes and their Barbies, and by the time they leave, they're into MTV. Well, MTV's not any good anymore, but it's a very good grade.
Before they leave, their G.I. Joe is at their Barbies. That's just the way it's going. Okay, I'm going to go down here and just go down the row here. Did you want to add anything to that?
No, not really.
Did you teach too?
High school guidance counselor.
Oh, a high school guidance counselor.
At St. Catharines and then in South Milwaukee.
Did you ever just not know what to tell someone who came in there and looked for guidance?
No, I think I could usually figure something out.
And did it work out for them? Did they come back years later and say, thank you so much because this sanitation job that you steered me into has been the greatest job and the benefits are something like that?
Well, not exactly, but I did work with a lot of teen parents.
Teen parents? Okay, that's good. That worked out?
Well, not always.
Okay, well, that's good. Nice talking to you anyway. And and you were, what's your name again?
Bill.
Bill and?
Linda.
Bill and Linda, thank you for being here. How are you doing? Pretty good? 43 years?
Yeah, we beat those kids over there.
Oh, my God. This gets worse and worse the longer we go in the audience here. And how are you doing? Pretty good? No comment?
Nope.
No comment?
Hi.
Okay, that's a good comment. I'm just going down the row here because I left your cards back at the table. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to.
How you doing?
Okay, good. Got the weekend off?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. What would you be doing ordinarily on a Saturday?
Fighting fires or, being a paramedic is what I do.
For a living. In Kenosha?
I live in Kenosha, but I work in Highland Park, Illinois.
Well, in Highland Park, Illinois. They got guys pouring gasoline on wood-burning stoves there, too?
Not all the time, but if it does happen, we'll put it out, though.
I mean, what are they thinking, really? You know, a lot of this stuff should never have happened, right? That's just that's somewhat avoidable, pouring gasoline on your wood stove.
It's job security, I guess.
You got to look at it that way. All right, and your name is?
Ed.
Ed, nice to meet you, Ed. Thanks for what you do. Appreciate it. How you doing? Are you with Ed? Yeah?
I am. Yes, I'm Mary. I'm with Ed, yes.
Yeah. And are you in the fire field, too, or paramedics?
No, I'm actually the county clerk.
You're the county clerk for Highland Park?
No, for Kenosha County.
For Kenosha County. They got the clerk here. Anybody need anything notarized and get the clerk here? You're an important person.
Well, I like to think so.
Yeah. I think you are, though. A lot of people like to think that they're important, but county clerk, it's all got to go through you, right?
A lot of it does, yes.
Or it gets nowhere.
You're right, exactly.
Yeah. Even these aldermen gluing each other together and all that stuff. It's all.
I just want to tell you that we're here because Ed got tickets for his 50th birthday.
Really?
From a friend to come here and see you. We didn't know who you were, but I will be.
What a nice present, Ed. So thoughtful.
Very thoughtful.
So I will be listening to you from now on because this is a very enjoyable show.
Well, let me ask you this, though. And you don't know who I am. Why would he decide that you needed those these tickets for your birthday?
Well, they were given to me as a gift.
And,
he blew the whole surprise, this guy. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking, but it was so funny when he did it. But then he's like, well, you know this Michael Feldman guy? And he goes, oh, by the way, your surprise isn't really a surprise party, is it? And I'm like, yeah, it was. So, but I forgive him now because these are great tickets and we're having a good time.
Yeah. But you'd never heard of the show, is what I'm saying.
No, I haven't. But
me.
No, but the idea is now that we have, we're going to be listening to you.
But I guess I'm trying to get it. Why did he think that was a good idea to give you tickets to a show you'd never heard of, with a guy you don't know from a hole in the wall?
Yeah, well, the thing about it is this, is he thought you were worth it. So that's why we're, you know, that's why.
Nicely put. You're a good man. Thank you, County Clerk. We're going to play around another round of the What Do You Know quiz. A chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. Let's see the hands now, those of you who didn't raise them last time. Probably want another shot at it. And well, he isn't. Oh, come on, yeah. Oh, yeah, look at that. That's so cute. Come on. No, not you. Not you. Her. You think I said you're so cute? No, sit down. It's her. I don't think it's yours. You're not that cute. You're okay. She's so cute, though. She's up there. I'm sorry, really. I didn't. I hate it when that happens, you know? And she was up and jumping up and down, and she was so. It was cute. That's all I can say. How are you?
Good.
You are?
Laura.
Laura?
Yeah.
From down here, Laura?
I'm from Milwaukee.
What brings you down here then?
It's my dad's 54th birthday.
Is that your dad who thought he was in the quiz? Oh, no, he's over there. Okay. So, Laura, is this for your dad then? Is that your reason?
Yes.
For her dad. Could there be a better reason? Possibly, but I don't know what it would be. Come on, Laura, if you want to come this way. I felt really sorry for that guy who was sitting in front of you. Yeah, it's just luck of the draw. Oh, yeah. You okay?
Yeah.
We have water.
I'm sick of the winter.
Okay. Well, thanks for sneezing into your elbow. There's some water here if you need
it. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, okay, help yourself. Knock yourself out. Irrigate. That's my answer to everything, irrigate. Never know what'll grow. If you irrigate. Okay? Irrigated?
Yes.
Good. You good?
Thank you.
Had that for a while now?
I'm sorry?
Had that for a while?
Yeah, well, it's winter, so.
Okay.
We're sick here.
I get that in the summer, though, too. I have all season colds.
Yeah, it's like winter sickness, summer allergies.
Yeah. Laura, you said?
Yes.
Laura, what are you doing these days?
I'm making a baby right now.
You're making a baby?
Yeah.
What goes into that exactly?
I bug my husband a lot to feed me often.
Oh.
So that's.
So he's actually making the baby. You're just.
Well, no. He's making me comfortable so I can make the baby.
Yeah. And when are you due?
I live.
Not what do you do? When are you due?
Oh, when? August.
Well, that'll be nice in the heat of summer, at least.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That'll be much more comfortable for you then, I'm sure. Is this your first then?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you read a lot of books, like making baby books?
No, I just watch a lot of reality TV, so it looks easy enough.
It is reality, that's for sure. You didn't read any of those books? We had to read it. What was that book, What to Expect When You're Expecting?
Yeah, they turned into a movie.
It's a movie? I should have saw the movie because the book made no sense to me.
Yeah,
nothing of it turned out to be true.
It's too long.
What?
The book is too long.
Oh, and having a child, it takes too long. For years and years, they don't tell anything about that in the book. It's just, you know, it is pretty. Well, that's great.
Yeah, thank you.
And, that's wonderful. And what were you, did you take time off to have the baby or were you doing something else or?
I mean,
career-wise,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. What do you do?
Well, in my heart, I'm a humanitarian, but I work for corporate America, so.
Okay. Well, we need humanitarians in corporate America.
Yeah, do we?
So they can chew up people on the job there. That's the important thing. Okay. Thank you, sir, whoever you are. If that's an actual laugh and not a medical condition, that's one. So, Laura, it's great to have you here, and you know how the quiz works?
Yes.
When it does? Okay. And then. Hey, Sarah Nixon, hey. Them boots there, them purple boots from, where are they from? Copenhagen?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, they're nice.
Yeah, thanks.
Those are nice. I had a pair exactly like that.
Yeah,
I,
was, no
I thought at first
you
got mine. So, okay. So then how do they play the quiz then?
People at home who want to play the quiz, call 262-595-2974. And then you ask them a qualifying question.
If you scuff those up, though, is there purple boot polish?
I don't know. Actually, they need some repair.
Because they're more violet, actually, than...
Yeah. Ultraviolet.
Ultra...
Something like that, okay. Yeah.
What was the number again?
262-595-2974.
Okay. And here's the question then. The question is, so where was S.C. Johnson actually born? You know S.C. Johnson. Racine. The question is, where was S.C. Johnson actually born? That's the question. Let's go to the phones right now. And the answer is, of course, the steering wheel. Steve in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Steve.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. S.C. Johnson, you know, John S. Johnson's there. They make Raid and stuff like that and other things in Racine. But where was he actually born is the question.
I'm going to guess Germany.
Okay, I'm going to say you're wrong. Thanks, though.
Thank you.
Bye. Steve's in Boyceville, Wisconsin. Steve, you know this, don't you?
I know he wasn't born in Boyceville. I would have heard of it.
Yeah. We are here in Kenosha, by the way. Did I mention that? We're here in Kenosha.
Yeah, I've been to Kenosha.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to guess Chicago.
Okay. You can guess all you want, then. See you later. Bye. Don's in southwest Missouri. We're here in Kenosha, Wisconsin, right next to S.C. Johnson's Racine. The question is, where was S.C. Johnson actually born?
Don, in a room with his screaming mom who was in Wisconsin.
Don, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Are you there?
I'm here. Where is S.C. Johnson born is the question.
In a room with a screaming mom. Next to
I see what
her
you're saying.
In Wisconsin.
Okay. Where in Wisconsin?
Probably Racine or Kenosha.
Okay, you want to pick one of those then?
Which one would she go with, since she's a mom-to-be?
Kenosha,
all right. So you're a tough guy to get something out of, Don, but you won. You're on the quiz. Okay. Yo, Don. How you doing?
Yes. I'm peachy.
You're what?
I'm peachy. It's just peachy.
Oh, I thought you said you're PG.
No, actually, not you.
So, okay. So, Don and Laura, the two of you work as a team here. We'll see what happens and what can go wrong, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Nothing. Do. Yeah.
All right. So then...
the categories are current events.
What are those categories?
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, had you been paying attention... Science and odds and ends.
Okay, Don, what would you like?
Current events.
Current events? I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. All right, I wouldn't. What else would you like?
Well, let's say things I should have learned in school.
No. Okay, all right. I'll give you that. All right, the woolly mammoth at the Kenosha Public Museum is noteworthy. This is like the big exhibit there is the woolly mammoth. It's noteworthy for something in particular, a quality that it has, which is kind of unique among woolly mammoths. Is it the alpaca-like quality of its wool, B, having been butchered, or C, having a human face? The woolly mammoth at the Kenosha Public Museum, they come from all over to see this.
It is quite hairy. I would say the alpaca, what was it? The hair.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to weigh in on this, Don?
Well, it could be hairy like an alpaca and have been butchered. And it could be.
You
really
always do this, Don. You always do this to me. You always give me two things, and you could say it could be either, and then you won't say which one you're actually picking to.
Okay, let's go with the alpaca.
No, I'm sorry, it was butchered. So that would be.
That would be zero right and one wrong.
Okay, don't worry about it. You'll come back from that.
Okay.
Isn't that a bummer when that happens? You know, I hate that too.
Yeah.
I can't give all the answers away, though. It's not right. And so what's left there?
People, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, we'll come back from this. Don't worry. Laura?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends? Okay. Odds and ends. Be nice or leave. Whose motto? That your phone?
Clyde.
Whose phone is that?
Clyde.
Clyde? Be Nice or Leave. Very famous institution here in Kenosha, Wisconsin. In fact, a diner.
Frank.
Hey, please. Who yelled out Frank's from over there? Be Nice or Leave. You say it's
Frank's Diner.
Frank's Diner, Don.
Sure, Frank's Diner.
Yes, it's Frank's Diner. Okay, see, you're recovered already. That would be
that's one right and one wrong.
Okay.
The categories left are people, places, or science.
People, places, or science. Back to you, Don.
Science.
Science. Okay. Pressed between a high-pressure diamond vise, peanut butter turns to one of the following. Does it turn to diamonds, brittle, or peanuts? Again. Peanut butter placed between a high-pressure diamond vise, in a diamond vise. Peanut butter turns back into diamonds, brittle, or peanuts.
Brittle?
Don?
I think she said brittle.
Yes. I know, I heard her.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe diamonds.
Diamonds? Diamonds, he says. Peanut butter turned to diamonds under diamond pressure.
I'm not very good at science, so...
You want to go with Don's?
Sure,
deal?
Whatever.
Yes, diamonds. You can turn peanut butter into diamonds. But you got to get a diamond vise, and they're hard to come by. Okay.
That's two right and one wrong.
Holy cow, this is turned around entirely.
It is. The categories remaining are people or places.
People or places. Laura?
Places.
Places. Okay, places. Nasty Little Town, which, you know, this opinion of this individual, Nasty Little Town. Who said it? Was it Mark Ruffalo? Orson Welles or Al Molinaro? Speaking of Kenosha.
Speaking of Kenosha.
Yeah, Nasty Little Town. Although he said later that he was misquoted. And he actually said Nasty Little Frown or something like that.
I wonder if it had been Orson Welles.
Aren't you thinking Orson Welles?
Mark Ruffalo is from Kenosha.
Yeah, and he's a very nice guy. I can't imagine him saying
Are they all from Kenosha?
They're all, yes, they're all from Kenosha.
I think any of them could have said it. I think we all say it once in a while.
I'll say it once in a while. Yeah. Okay. Who's most famous then for saying it?
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles? Orson Welles? Orson Welles, yes! Big win!
Laura, you've won two stadium box tickets to the opening season of the Kenosha Kingfish, a Northwoods League baseball team, and later dine at La Fogata Mexican Grill on Sheridan Road in Kenosha. Sport a t-shirt from the University of Wisconsin Parkside Bookstore. Partake in goodies from Elsie Mays Canning, makers of fine jams and jellies in downtown Kenosha since 2012. And keep your computer in a laptop bag and cook for the gang using a group cooking system, both from Johnson Outdoors. Dawn, your prize package begins with a classy assortment of underwear from Jockey International.
Oh,
makers of underwear and related products since 1876. Then go underwater with a snorkel set and personal flotation device, and prepare a tasty repast on the beach with a personal cooking system, all from Johnson Outdoors. Have some coffee at Callio's Coffee House on 6th Avenue in Kenosha, and wear a QP baseball cap while eating a QP from one of the oldest and best hamburger restaurants in the Midwest in Racine since the 1920s. We make them by the millions, one at a time. Congratulations to you both.
Thanks, Don. Don't go away. Hang out. Make sure you get that. Okay. He's on hold there. A nano brewery. It's a tiny little brewery. It's about this big. The beers, you got to have a lot of them. I'll tell you that because they're very tiny. Greg York is here from a nano brewery. Rustic Road Brewery, ladies and gentlemen, right here in the heart of Kenosha, Wisconsin. There he is. Oh, look how big the bottles are. I was wrong about that. How you doing?
Morning, Michael.
Good to see
Great.
You. Wow. I thought a nano brewery would have tiny little bottles. They're humongous.
Everything's bigger in Kenosha.
Really? Pull in there so we can hear you. What'd you say?
I said everything's bigger in Kenosha.
Okay, so what do we got here?
Well, that is our Kenosha East India Ale.
Kenosha is in East India?
Yep.
Do they have a settlement there or something? Or?
We should.
Yeah, yeah. So let's start from the beginning here, and I'm going to drink it.
There you go.
While you're explaining everything about, we got some for everybody here. You want a little?
Yes.
Come and get it. I'm not going to deliver it here. John, this is an India Pale Ale sort of thing?
It is, yep. Yeah. It's exactly right. Yeah. It's based on our Kenosha Pale Ale, which is a American Pale Ale.
Yeah. And it... Just take it. You're welcome, Clyde. Anybody else? Do I need more? Do you need some?
Not much time.
No, go ahead. Tell us the whole story behind that. When did you start, for example, Rustic Road?
So we opened in June. Oh, no, it's too early for me. Yeah, it's not quite noon yet.
Okay.
So we opened in June of 2012, about 18 months ago.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, really? So it's that recent?
Yeah.
And what makes something a nano brewery as opposed to a, whatever they call it?
A microbrewery?
A microbrewery.
Sure, sure. So a typical microbrewery might make 7 to 10 barrels at a time, or 15 or 20.
Very good.
We make two.
You make two?
So very small. Think about like your corner bakery, but making something better with grain.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Where do you get, I mean, were you trained as a brewmaster?
Well, I started homebrewing in 1999 with a college buddy.
Yeah, you did? And what college was that?
It's hard to remember. NIU. NIU.
Oh.
Yeah. So we were homebrewing. And,
so that's Northern Illinois we're talking about?
Northern Illinois University, yep, in DeKalb, Illinois.
Yeah.
So homebrewing.
Big beer school, is it?
Big beer school. Big beer and music, yeah. And then I went into IT, so figure that out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're making homebrew, and the first batch was great. Second batch, the thermometer broke in the pot on the stove, so not as good a batch.
This is quite delicious.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hoppy.
I'm happy to meet you.
That's there it is. Set up for you.
Yeah, okay.
Make sure you save a little bit.
No, go ahead. You're telling me your life
our
story.
Our cabin up north here.
Yeah.
Is it
hard actually to start a business though? I mean, are there all kinds of licensing and all kinds of regulations?
Man, the government.
Because I have the county clerk right here, and I can get you through this.
That would help. Yeah, thank you. That'd be
she'll
great.
She'll sign off. Oh, we're out of time already. We got to go. I mean, I say this beer is great. Tell some of your other brand, other beers that you have there right now.
Sure, absolutely. We're striking our Queen Bee tonight. It's going to be a big, big party tonight.
Okay. And what kind of beer is that?
It's a Belgian triple.
Ooh, that sounds
big Belgian
really
beer
good.
With orange and coriander flavors.
Yeah.
Michael
heavy
Feldman's
duty.
What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin
Thank
Public Radio
much.
For Public Radio International. Sorry, Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook.
PRI, Public Radio International.